Thank you, Jonga, and blessing. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You're listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Monday, February 29th, 2016. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Chris Gandhi.
And I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye.
Here are our top stories this evening.
Some Zimbabweans say President Mugabe's call for youth to stop attacking his wife are an indication that he's not concerned about the needs of local people.
I failed to see any indication that he is worried about the country and the nation. The only indications that are there that he is worried first about himself, his family, and then slightly about the party.
The International Monetary Fund says a resumption of direct financial aid to Harare might come after the conclusion of an assessment report on Zimbabwe.
It's a special day today for people born on February 29th. We will give you more details.
I'm really excited because I actually get to celebrate my birthday on the actual day. So the biggest difference has been in my friends' reactions, because sometimes they make excuses to not celebrate with me or to not get me gifts.
And it's the end of the road for Zimbabwe soccer champions Chicken Inn, who chickened out of the African Champions League.
These stories and much more coming up. Stay tuned.
President Mugabe says ZANU-PF youths should stop insulting his wife Grace, who recently attacked Vice President Emmerson Mnangagwa for allegedly attempting to topple her husband. Speaking at Great Zimbabwe Monuments at his official birthday bash, Mr. Mugabe chided some members of his party's Youth League and other youths calling themselves Save Zimbabwe campaign for denigrating the name of the First Lady. The youths were recently quoted as saying Mrs. Mugabe is promoting factionalism in the party as she has links with a faction of the party calling itself Generation 40 or G40. Which reportedly wants her to succeed the 92-year-old president. The other faction is allegedly led by Vice President Emmerson Mnangagwa. Mr. Mugabe also attacked ZANU-PF members for supporting various factions. We reached ZANU-PF Central Committee member Joseph Chuma, who says people are forgetting that the birthday bash, also known as the 21st February movement, is a youth function, and therefore what President Mugabe said was directed to the youth.
All in all, what a wonderful event, a very graceful event indeed, to celebrate an iconic figure, our president, His Excellency R.G. Mugabe.
What do you say to critics who say that President Mugabe didn't address pressing issues like the drought in Maswingo and the rest of the country and the divisions in the party?
Well, critics are always going to be there, and critics are a necessity to allow them. But guess what? The president came there for a particular event. We must all understand that these things have got time. There's a time for everything. Even the Bible says there's a time for different occasions. That was a time for the young ones. That was a time for the upcoming generation. That was a time of the young ones being taught the way of living culturally, and even Christian whites. It was a time to reflect on the president's life himself, a man who has managed to live his life without a cigarette in his hand, without even alcohol in his system. He's lived a life that is worth emulating. And so it was a time to address that. That is why the president's address focused on the behavior of our youth today. Our youths are going wayward. They are now insulting elders. They are now doing unbecoming behavior. They are being used by some cronies who have their own hidden agendas. And the president come to address that, to tell the youth that, no, do not follow bad behavior from bad people, but instead follow goodness, because goodness leads to greatness.
That was Joseph Chuma, ZANU-PF Central Committee member and legislator. He spoke to Studio 7 on the line from Bulawayo. We also reached independent political analyst Denise Zulu Matsapulana, who says President Mugabe's speech at his birthday bash shows a man who's more interested in his personal well-being than for the whole country.
I failed to see any indication that he is worried about the country and the nation. The only indications that are there that he is worried first about himself, his family, and then it's slightly about the party. But I think President Mugabe's vision and mission, politically and otherwise, has narrowed to his family.
What do you make of his words against those who are opposed to the machinations of his wife?
I think where we miss the point largely, Mr. Gandhi, is that what Grace Mugabe says fundamentally is what Robert Mugabe means. So at the end of the day, let's not be naive and expect that Mugabe will come out of the closet and caution or warn or advise Grace Mugabe against what she is saying. This is a man who doesn't care what divisions take place in the country, take place in his party, or take place everywhere, even if there's a civil war, as long as him, his family, his hold of power on power is secure, for Mugabe, happiness is guaranteed. I think we, Zimbabweans and other people, should stop expecting too much. Mugabe has become a family man, and his power is now defined by the interests and the happiness of his family and no other people.
That was independent political analyst Denise Zulu Matsapulana. He spoke to Studio 7 on the line from Johannesburg, South Africa.
Meanwhile, some thousands of hungry villagers on Saturday walked up to 20 kilometers on foot to attend President Robert Mugabe's lavish birthday party at the Great Zimbabwe Monuments in Mashingo Province. Not because they wanted to honor the non-agrarian leader, but to get a decent meal in the drought-ravaged region. They claimed that the president did not say how his government is tackling the drought. Our correspondent Gandri Maramba reports.
Most of the people who spoke to Studio 7 while attending the birthday bash said they wanted to eat at least a decent meal on Saturday, as they are in most cases failing to have a single meal per day. Some ended up stashing the food in plastic bags in order to take it back home for their hungry children who could not walk all the way to Great Zimbabwe. According to the state-controlled media, the ruling ZANU-PF party slaughtered 53 beasts and sourced about 300 kilograms of processed beef and hundreds of kgs of game meat for 50,000 guests. To cream it all, there was also lots of desserts and other goodies supplied by the first family's Alpha and Omega dairy farm. This is what forced Tunderai Mutema of Mrinyo Communal Lands to walk for about 20 kilometers to Great Zimbabwe. Mutema said he brought his family with him to the birthday bash.
Yeah, the celebrations was quite okay. We come from long distance. Not mainly such to celebrate for our president's 92 birthday, but our main aim was to have food, since we have many days, or since from the beginning of the year, we did not manage to get proper meal. So we are grateful that we managed to have food, but we don't know for tomorrow what will happen tomorrow.
Some villagers had to stampede for leftovers, which they took home, saying they would find ways of preserving the food so that they can depend on it in the next few days. One of the villagers who declined to be named in fear of being victimized said it was unlikely that people were going to stay away from such a lavish birthday, as they do not know where the next meal will come from.
Today we have come to eat. We are suffering in Zimbabwe. This is the only day that we can eat. Today we want to eat food so much. They let them give us food. We want to eat today so that we can prove that, yeah, we have got our leaders. Okay, about hunger. Hunger is too much in Zimbabwe. Everything is just, yeah, I don't know what to say.
Some people in Mashingo province are now surviving on wild fruits due to severe food shortages caused by the current drought. They were expecting Mr. Mugabe to address the hunger situation in the region. Tsitsi Muduma of Mashata village in Mchakata communal land said she is disappointed that the president did not talk much about the hunger situation in Mashingo.
The birthday bash, it was okay. You really enjoyed it. The food was okay. But in addressing the main focus that we came here for, it wasn't really attended. Take, for instance, we came here to hear if the president is going to address about the food shortages in our country, and especially in Mashingo, but that wasn't fully addressed, for he only talked about the political status and what how he's going to deal with the political instabilities. But when it comes to the food and stuff, it wasn't fully addressed.
President Mugabe, in his concluding remarks, promised villagers that no one would die of hunger, as his party and government were making efforts to feed everyone. But villagers were not convinced about these remarks, saying the president did not give specifics on how his government would provide food to the hungry. Reporting for Studio 7 in Mashingo, I am Gandhi Maramba.
In a related development, the Zimbabwe National Students Union, or ZINASU, has attacked university authorities countrywide for allegedly funding President Robert Mugabe's 800,000 birthday bash at the expense of students' education. Arthur Chigoriwa has more from Chinoyi.
An irate ZINASU national spokesperson, Zivai Metu, said he found it difficult to understand why universities can easily provide buses and a birthday present for Mr. Mugabe when they can't cater for the needs of students. Metu said it is ironic that students at Lupane State University were recently denied entry into classes for non-payment for tuition fees, and yet they were loaded into buses and ferried to Mashingo for the president's birthday party.
I was talking about Lupane University. Students who have got outstanding fees, they were denied entry at the university campus. And the university had to look for police therapy to buttress the security guards in denying students access to campus. But at the same time, there were buses loading students going to Mashingo for Mugabe's birthday bash. Now, I did not find the logic. If they are to deny students this right, and then the university has extra money to fund students to attend the president's birthday party.
Metu said at one time they ended up using public transport to fulfill an educational trip to the University of Zimbabwe last year. Metu said wasting university resources on luxurious expenses like birthday parties when students are finding it hard to eat a meal is insensitive to their plight. But ZANU-PF youth Kingston Zimbodza defended President Mugabe's birthday celebrations, saying they should be national events. Zimbodza said President Mugabe deserved that recognition from universities.
Our president, Mr. Robert Gabriel, is a national icon. So recognizing his birthday, it's a national thing. We should honor that because Mr. Robert R.G. Gabriel Mugabe is a national icon and is our hero. So we should celebrate with him in his birthday. I think it should be declared a national holiday for all Zimbabweans as we join Mr. Robert Gabriel in commemorating his birthday.
Sources at Chinoy University of Technology said the government sent a memo last week to all universities asking students and lecturers to attend the birthday party in Mashingo. Asked to comment, Chinoy University of Technology Public and Marketing Director Tapera Msekiwa requested this reporter to send some questions via email and they had not responded to the questions by time of going on air. Reporting for Studio 7 in Chinoy, this is Arthur Chigoriwa.
Young people out there, are you concerned about the many issues that affect you and Zimbabweans in general? Rise to the occasion. Make an impact. Let your voice be heard. And let's get talking on The Connection.
We cover a range of issues that affect young people, including unemployment, health, education, politics, and much, much more.
I am Tatenda Gumbo.
And I'm Tungamili Nkomo.
And we are the hosts for your number one youth forum, The Connection.
This Tuesday, we take a look at the issue of unemployment, which continues to haunt many people, especially the youth.
Remember, every Tuesday at 8:30 p.m., let your voice be heard and spread the word.
To get involved, send us a message with the hashtag TheConnection on WhatsApp. The number is 001-202-465-0318.
The International Monetary Fund president represented, International Monetary Fund resident representative in Zimbabwe, Christian Bedies, says a resumption of direct financial aid to Harare might be a long process and the answer might come in May after the conclusion of an assessment report on Zimbabwe. An IMF team is currently in the country for 2 weeks to assess the final phase of the Staff Monitored Program, or SMP, and do the annual Article 4 consultation. The IMF is meeting government and business leaders. Tomorrow, the IMF team is expected to meet with representatives of the Zimbabwe National Chamber of Commerce. Zimbabwe started the SMP, an informal agreement with the IMF, to monitor the implementation of its economic reforms in December 2013 and claims that it has met its targets and is seeking a financial aid package. Zimbabwe has suffered from a rollback of investment from the West for the past 16 years.
Without any balance of payment support and starved of foreign credit, Zimbabwe's economy is headed south, punctuated by deflation and 90% unemployment. Late last year, the IMF said it might resume financial support to Zimbabwe as early as 2016 if foreign creditors accepted Harare's arrears clearance plan and the government implemented economic reforms to boost growth.
Finance Minister Patrick Chidamasa proposed a plan in Lima, Peru, that he claimed will see Harare clearing its arrears of $1.86 billion to international creditors, including the Bretton Woods institutions, by April. But many economists doubt Harare can meet the ambitious target. In an exclusive interview, Bedies tells Studio 7's Blessing Zulu about the Harare and IMF engagement currently underway.
Their main task is to do the third and final review under the Staff Monitored Program and also the annual Article 4 consultation, where the team takes a more medium-term look at where does Zimbabwe want to be in like 3 to 5 years, say, and how can they get there. And this is sort of a policy discussion between the team and the various branches of government and the central bank. But of course, we also talk to private sector representatives, NGOs, and civil society.
The Staff Monitored Program, it has ended. So what exactly are they doing now?
It technically ended on the 31st of December 2015, but you cannot assess like quantitative targets, say, on the fiscal balance and so forth, on the same day the year ends. I mean, these things take obviously time to be finalized, but we will still go together with the Article 4 and the third and final review of the SMP that will be presented to our fund IMF Executive Board in May of this year when the mission finalized its report.
There are also reports that Zimbabwe might get new funding, if you may explain that.
This is a long process. You may know that as part of our annual meetings last year, together with the World Bank, the authorities had an opportunity to present a strategy on how to clear the arrears to international financial institutions, and there was broad support for that strategy. Of course, we now have to have a successful completion of that final review of the SMP. That's what the mission is doing right now.
And let's talk about the 1.8 billion in external arrears. How far have you gone in discussing with Zimbabwe on the way forward?
The authorities presented a strategy. That strategy is sound. They have identified financing, and I believe if the Ministry of Finance actually published the broad modalities of what they have in mind in a local newspaper last year after the Lima meeting in October. And so that is still on track. I mean, that's still their plan.
Zimbabwe had given itself a deadline, that is April, to clear the arrears. Is that still realistic?
I think April would be too ambitious.
That was Christian Bedies, International Monetary Fund resident representative in Zimbabwe, speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Harare.
We now take a look at regional and international news.
UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon said today that despite some incidents, the cessation of hostilities in Syria is largely holding on its third day.
Iranian hardliners have been dealt an electoral setback, with moderates winning a majority in the country's top clerical body, the Assembly of Experts and Parliament.
The Vatican's chief finance officer says the Catholic Church in Australia marked things up in its dealings with pedophiles priests.
And in coming days, Americans could have a much better sense of who will be this year's Republican and Democratic presidential nominees. A young Zimbabwean lady based in Tampa, Florida, in the United States, says today is a special day for her as it comes one of those rare occasions when she celebrates her birthday on the actual day she was born. Tafadzwa Sai was born in a leap year, and 2016 happens to fall within this category and will enable her to savor her birthday, but hastens to say trying to make this celebration special can put too much pressure on those born on this day, including herself. Sai, who is from Harare and hails from Berengwa, says today she is at work and will have to postpone her festivities to the weekend, although she's elated that once every 4 years she gets the pleasure of actually celebrating on the day she was born.
I'm really excited because I actually get to celebrate my birthday on the actual day.
How different is it to the other years where you've had to either bring it forward or push it back?
So the biggest difference has been in my friends' reactions, because sometimes they make excuses to not celebrate with me or to not get me gifts, and they'll show me a calendar and say your day is not on there, but today I get to cash in.
There's so many myths surrounding leap year. Some people say it's a year when women like yourselves can ask a man to marry them. Would you take up such an offer, or what do you think of that?
No, I would not. I think things should not really change just because it's a leap year. It creates a lot of confusion. I think we should just stick to what happens every other year.
So how old are you turning? Do you count your years in terms of when you've celebrated, or how do you count your birth years?
So I kind of do both. Sometimes I tell people that I'm 8 because I've only celebrated 8 times, but in reality I'm 32 years old. I do add a year to my age every other year. I don't wait until after 4 years.
Tell us a little bit about yourself.
So I finished my PhD last year, and I'm a postdoctoral scholar in Tampa, Florida. And today, unfortunately, I don't get to do much because I'm at work, but I'm going to treat myself over the weekend.
That was Tafadzwa Sai, a young Zimbabwean lady, speaking to Studio 7 from Tampa, Florida, here in the United States. We will talk to more Zimbabweans celebrating their birthdays once in 4 years.
It's quite unique and special that I celebrate my birthday on the 29th of February, whilst others celebrate on the 20th. For me, I celebrate it after 4 years.
Happy birthday to all those who celebrate their day today on Leap Year, 29th of February.
Harare's failure to offer attractive conditions of service for health professionals has resulted in a lack of specialists in most state-owned hospitals. They include speech therapists, who play a critical role in linking medical professionals with clients. Our correspondent Patricia Mudadigwa reports.
Speaking at a health workshop on the visual and hearing impaired held in Harare, Michele Angelet, country representative of Christian Blind Mission, said the majority of poor people in Zimbabwe had no access to speech therapists.
Right now, there is not a single speech therapist working in public service in Zimbabwe. We as CBM, we are trying to support the establishment of a Bachelor of Sciences in Speech Therapy and Audiology at the University of Zimbabwe. We are establishing speech therapy services at Harare Children's Hospital. The point is, you see, we are trying as much as possible to complement, but what you can do as parliamentarians, you can advocate whenever budget times come. Because the freezing of the posts right now, that is forced given the economic situation, is hurting the service provision.
This was confirmed by Permanent Secretary in the Ministry of Health and Child Care, Dr. Gerald Gwinji, who told the same workshop that the government does not have money to pay salaries of these specialists.
These are very celebrable people. As soon as you train them and you don't pay them properly, they go. It's not an issue of us not training, it's an issue of us failing to retain them.
Ruth Labode, chairperson of the Parliamentary Committee on Health and Child Care, said adoption of a disability policy will compel the government to ensure the presence of specialist medical personnel at public hospitals.
And yet the issue is the policy document, and the policy document 10 years has been in the ministry.
Gwinji concurred, adding that there was need for Zimbabwe to urgently adopt a disability policy. He said work on the policy had commenced.
Consultations were done, and the primary ministry is now finalizing issues around validation on this policy.
Some people living with disabilities who attended the workshops bemoan the failure by government to meaningfully invest in the health sector to lower skilled medical personnel and specialists. According to a disability activist, Barbara Nyangairi, speech therapists play a critical role in people's lives, including those with problems related to their senses.
Speech therapy makes use of residual senses, and for those that are able to acquire some speech, it is important for you to be able to provide speech therapy for them so that they are then able to use those residual senses more effectively.
However, Nyangairi said while a disability policy is important in Zimbabwe, what is more critical for the country's implementation of such policies?
Zimbabwe already has a lot of good policies. A disability policy would provide a holistic sum of all the things that are provided for within our legal framework in order to operationalize them. So I think that the challenge that we face as Zimbabwe is implementation. A lot of things die at the implementation stage. And so having a policy which is good on paper, but without the political will to implement that particular policy, will not be of much use to people with disabilities.
According to health experts, speech-language pathologists, sometimes called speech therapists, assess, diagnose, treat, and help to prevent communication and swallowing disorders in patients. Speech, language, and swallowing disorders result from a variety of causes such as a stroke, brain injury, hearing loss, developmental delay, Parkinson's disease, a cleft lip or palate, and autism. Reporting for Studio 7 in Harare, this is Patricia Mdadigwa.
For more details on this issue, please visit our website at www.voazimbabwe.com.
And in sports news, it was a weekend of mixed fortunes for Zimbabwean football. Our reporter Michael Cariati tells us what happened.
There were mixed fortunes for Zimbabwe's representatives in Pan-African football as Chicken Inn were eliminated from the CAF Champions League, while Harare City progressed to the first round of the CAF Confederation Cup. For Chicken Inn, it was a cruel and haunting way to end their bold Africa campaign after conceding an injury time penalty to lose the match 2-0 to South Africa's Mamelodi Sundowns and bow out of the tournament 2-1 on aggregate. The Gamecocks players felt cheated as they believed the penalty came after Passmore Bernard had impeded Kama Billiard in the box was not justified, a feeling which they share with their coach Joey Antipas.
The penalty was a bit dodgy, but that's the nature of the game. I would say I wish Sundowns all the best in the quest for African Champions League.
The Zimbabweans confronted Malagasy referee Antofetra Rakotogiano soon after the penalty was awarded, but the referee stood his ground before Katlego Mashego converted to give Sundowns the passage to the next round. Chicken Inn had matched the so-called Brazilians man for man and could also have won the game had Michel Cachairo's effort not cannoned off the post before Obadiah Tarumbwa missed the target with the goalkeeper to beat.
Thanks, Michael. That's it for tonight. My name is Chris Gande. Good night, Zimbabwe.
And I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye, wishing a pleasant evening and a very good night.